Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk some Minnesota Vikings football. Now, it wasn't pretty. Well, at times it was very pretty, but it was ugly too, right? It seems like we're never out of a game, but we don't, besides Seattle, who knows if we'll give up the game. It was just it was a back and forth game, you know, after that punt. Block, scoop, score. I thought, oh boy, here we go, dude. 2-4. It's happening. It's going to happen. But then we responded, you know, so it's us all over there. I mean, how many more under 40 second drives can a team produce through six games? It's crazy. There is a lot to talk about, though, no doubt about it. The offensive line performed great. Besides the last drive, 96 yards, the defense played pretty damn great themselves. Just an all-around, you know, solid performance beyond a couple of things, and that seems like we've been saying that a lot. But anyway, so we will start with some recap and kind of break it all down, the victory to get us to 3-3. We talked about that 2-2 and 3-3 into the bye. Last week we were saying, hey, 3-3 to the bye. Get healthier, have some folks back like Darisaw and Barr and all that. Obviously, Pat P. hurts big time. We'll talk about that as well. And then we'll just kind of talk overall since we don't have a game to preview. And, of course, if you've listened to the show before in the past, thank you. But also, we do a Gopher football segment, and we got the double dip this week. Gophers and Vikings. One games, man. It doesn't happen that much, that often. Anyway, if this is your first time listening to this Vikings podcast, welcome. It's available in a variety of places. It streams live on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope It Dope if you don't want to. The platform is available on Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, etc. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. And then Aaron set up a page called Living in Loserville last year. Pretty fitting, I'd say, Living in Loserville, right? On Spreaker. So the Spreaker page, go check it out there. It's Vikings, Gophers, Timberwolves, all that stuff that we talk here as well. Plus he has some pods that he does as well that you might be interested in. That's Living in Loserville. Spreaker, one more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called DirecTV Stream. The prices start as low as $69.99 a month. The best of live TV and on-demand. No annual contract. No hidden fees. If you upgrade to the Choice or Ultimate, you get a free 3 months of HBO Max. You also get to enjoy regional sports networks without the additional fee that you're seeing more and more. And if you go all the way to the premiere package, that'll give you HBO Max and Showtime included. That's DirecTV Stream. Okay, let's bring in my co-host, Aaron. And, man, I think Zimmer's going to have to retire after this year just because we're all aging 3 to 5 years. I mean, this season has just been crazy.
That was a fun one, huh? It had everything. Ups, downs, defense tried to give the game away. I mean, 94 or 96 yard drive by Sam Darnold at the end to get him in position to score, and then 2-point conversion, and you're just, you know, wringing your hands going, not again. And, you know, then you got 46 seconds. It's so much to get into, but I wanted to start maybe, you know, a lot of talk we've had about the offensive line throughout the last 3 or 4 years. And, you know, we need this piece or we need that piece, or why did we get rid of this and keep that, and all the questions that we've asked ourselves. And, you know, I thought that the offensive line here made a stand in a way. I mean, they had a hard time running the ball, but, you know, was that, you know, it was a pretty good defensive line they were going against. They were getting a lot of stunts, and I want to say they could have played better against the run, and I think that's a true statement. But against the pass, you know, Kirk had some pretty good pockets all day, and, you know, I think the addition of Darisaw in there is the biggest difference, but it's hard to say because he's a rookie and you know how much leadership and so on is there. But I mean, the kid can play left tackle, and if this goes well, you've got a cheap left tackle for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, it is nice this isn't trying to rip on Hill too much. We know what we had at the beginning of the season, but to get the second contact, and the second contact's not the player on the ground, to get that first hit, and then this, I mean, he did that a variety of times. He only gave up one pressure. If you look at this, is ESPN stats info, the Panthers defense pressured Cousins 4 out of his 49 dropbacks, 8%. Usually we're in the 30 to 40 range. Cleveland was 54 or whatever. And he wasn't pressured in overtime on all 6 dropbacks. And if you look at it even deeper today, this is Dusty Baker. Once again, a good follow. I say him almost every week talk about this, but today was the third time in Vikings history the team had 48 plus pass attempts and 0 sacks allowed. One was 78 and one was 1995. So yes, dude, I mean, you make a great point about, you know, the run blocking. They did lose a lot of yards and whatnot, but I mean, they played one of their best games in a long, long time. And pass blocking wise, interior, because we were really worried about that. It does feel like Darisaw's, well, we know it's a step up from Hill, but we'll see where he's at as far as Riley. But he also might be able to run block better than Riley, too, and I'm looking forward to that. We'll see how that transpires. But to win some games like we've won this year, I mean, to throw the ball 48 times in the Mike Zimmer era, or really any time, I just wonder what the stats, and win the game, and kind of won it convincingly, but we won't talk about, well, we're going to talk about that later. But, yeah, dude. I mean, it is better than last year's line. It really is. And it's one of the better, and sure, we'll see where we go. And you know, when we play Cleveland, it's still going to be a mess when it comes to a playoff top level caliber defense. We get that part. But yeah, I agree, man. They played, you know, Udo had a rough game, but as a unit, they played damn good.
And, you know, you don't want to shower them with accolades at this point because they played, you know, one good game and they've been consistently getting better. But if you want to look on the bright side of this whole thing, they're young. This is a young line. I think O'Neal is the oldest and he's still pretty young. I don't think he's reached his prime yet. So you're going a rookie with Darisaw, second year player with Cleveland, third or fourth year player with Bradbury. And we'll see what the returns are on him at the season's end. And then Udo, he had a bad game as far as holding was concerned, but he's held up pretty well the games prior to this. So let's hope that's a blip on the radar. And then O'Neal. So that's a young line after all this complaining year after year after year. If this line can continue to improve, you've got a young offensive line that can only get better. And that leads, you know, to a lot of hope for Vikings fans. Now, like I said, you don't want to crown them yet because – you know, there's the Bradbury question. There's the Udo question. You got Wyatt Davis on the bench. You got some things working here, but you still need depth. But I think you have yourselves the beginning of a line, at least a couple of tackles that you could depend on.
Yeah, well said. And one of the tackles that did prove himself is signed now. That a lot of people didn't think we'd extend him. We got him extended as well. So, yeah, man. And just starting off this game with a pick, Breland makes, just a wonder, like a great grab to get that INT. You'd like to
totally redeemed himself.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what, let's stop right there because I for obvious reasons, we were rough on him, obviously, right? Because he was garbage. There's just no way around it. I mean, even look at this. This comes from Will Ragaz. Breland, week 1 through 3, 18 catches given up, 4 TDs, bunch of missed tackles, had a bunch of targets, and just really, we talked about that, ranked 116th out of 116th, right? But it's 3 weeks in a row, 4, 5, and 6, only given up 5 catches, 43 yards, 15 targets, and he's ranked in those weeks 4 out of 119. The guy has, knock on wood, I don't want to say turn the corner, you know what I mean? But yeah, man, that was a nice grab. Like I said, it would have been nice to punch it in there. I think there was a nice pass deflection in there, if I remember correctly. Carolina, you know, five play punt. Now we did have a fumble. Jefferson fumbled it and it scooped up and they returned it. It was pretty funny to watch Cousins make the tackle or a half a tackle or whatever it was. And next thing you know, it's 7-3. And, you know, you're like, okay, well, we did respond with a drive. Cousins missed what would have been a tutty to Jefferson. I don't know if that the arm contact that did it move his body a little bit when he threw it. I don't know. You'd much rather him get hit after he releases it. But either way, he missed it. And that was off a nice kickoff return from Abdullah. But then it's 7-6. Okay, you know, we're doing good here. Lynch gets a sack. We're making a punt again. And then we had a great drive, 9 plays, 58 yards, lasting 4 minutes. Thielen had a 24 and a 20-yard catch on that drive. Herndon, I forgot all about this guy that we had him, Aaron. Herndon comes out. We do the old tight end by the goal line. Hey, he's going to be wide open. Unfortunately, they missed the 2-point conversion. But it's 12-10 or 12-7 at that point. I thought, okay, kind of a weird start. Had some interceptions. You know, missed that JJ touchdown. I felt pretty good, though, at 12-7, the way the defense was playing.
Yeah, you did feel really good. And like you said, they weren't actually dominating the game, but they were definitely in it, and you knew kind of the tone of the game and how it was going to go. And that was a great missed catch, I guess, like you mentioned, by Jefferson. And like I said earlier, I think we talked off air where in defensive back just played it really well towards the sideline. I think
that was later. That was later. Oh, I'm sorry, talking about that. When Cousins overthrew. I don't know if the arm that he got hit with when he threw it, but he overthrew it. It was a touchdown.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you're saying. Back of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Sorry, I got lost.
It was a deep ball. He just missed him.
Yeah. So we're at, 12-7?
Yep.
And it seemed to be going good. The offense was sort of moving the ball like they do generally in first halves. But I thought the running game was the thing that was kind of worrying me at that point. You know, Cook was getting carries, but they weren't really amounting to much. And he got stuck really hard on a screen pass. And it just wasn't looking great at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they get the ball back. Carolina, 3-and-out. Okay, but then we 3-and-out. And Udo definitely struggled. And I forgot about that hit. He took a really hard hit. So did Jefferson and Thielen. I got to say, that defense, sure, we put up a bunch of points on them and all that. And we threw the ball all around the field. Sure, okay, that's fine. But that defense and the cornerbacks, we talked about this off air. Dude, these guys were on. I mean, sure, there were some wide open guys from time to time, but the cornerbacks were on point. Cousins had to not only, you know, put that thing in razor thin, but also the catch had to be money with contact and the sure tackling. Because like you said, Cook, there's a couple times where he's about to break one and it was just a sure tackle every time. They know how to coach him up, no doubt about it. Now, they did get a field goal drive, but once again, you're not getting any in zone. You're not moving the ball as well. We got the ball back. Well, it was 12-10. Carolina got that field goal drive. They burned some time up. But then we had another 3-and-out. And then, you know, Bradbury, I think, kind of messed up. You notice how all of a sudden we're calling a bunch of timeouts with like 50 seconds left in the second quarter this week? Hey, man, we're going to really try to make something out of this. We're really going to try, man, to show you that we're trying. And it didn't matter anyway because Bradbury had a holding call. But I thought that was kind of funny. They burned both their timeouts. We're going to do something here. Of course, unfortunately, it didn't. But then we open up, and it didn't look pretty opening up. JJ dropped what would have been a first down. Kind of, once again, almost like a strip out of there. He should have been able to catch it and tuck it, but the cornerbacks were there. Udo had a holding. 4 play, negative 9 yards. We got a punt. And then this was crazy here. And this was like a microcosm of what was going on. Obviously, Carolina had like 5 clean drops. Some of it had to do with our corners hitting them linebackers, but they had a lot of drops. But a 5-minute drive, Aaron. 7 play. They only got like not many yards actually gained, but there was 2 Vikings penalties in there. Tomlinson got his first sack, but a 5-minute, 7-play drive that they ended up just punting anyway. Of course, we get it back, and then, you know, had the 4-play punt, but we didn't get the punt off. Block punt, scoop and soar, 17-12. I'm sitting back like, oh, here we go again.
Here we go again. That's all of us. I think we're at that point. We're saying that. And it's, you know, starts to be that momentum shift and everything changes. And you haven't been playing great the last couple series. And now this happens. And, you know, last year we kind of went over what happened in the game against Carolina on last week's show and how that just kind of – we managed to survive that as well. But, you know, the block punt now – from after the game, you hear that this is the time when I think Thielen got up and some other players got up and said, well, let's get it together. Well, you know, that's all well and good, but you can't find yourself in a hole and then decide to get it going. And the offense after that really did get it going and started moving the ball. And, you know, there was a couple of passes to Conklin and Cook had a really nice run and they started getting going. And that's what you wanted to see all game. But unfortunately, it took some adversity to get that out of this team.
Yeah, that's a good call. Like, oh, there's a block punt, scoop and score, and we've been 3-and-out and 5-and-out. And hey, man, we should really start to pull our weight. Yeah, that's a good point. And, dude, it was Christmas dinner because ham sliced and diced that juke move on that 30-yard run. Once again, you know, Cook scores there. But, damn, ham, that was beautiful. And speaking of a hole, that was a wide-open hole. I did love the response, though. Five plays, 79 yards. 79 yards, 18-17, did fail that two-point conversion. And so two-point conversions didn't go our way. We'll talk about the missed field goal in a second. But 3 minutes left, Vikings up 18-17. Xavier Woods comes in, causes the fumble. Kendricks recovers it, picks it up. And then even on that drive, that scoring drive, Thielen had a nice catch and run. But then that tight rope TD looking like CC, 25-17, it felt like, okay, dude, we're in control now.
We were in control, and that was a great catch from Thielen. He always seems to find these little windows. I won't say always, but often seems to find these little windows to catch a pass. There's the one in Green Bay where he's falling backwards on the by the pylon. There's this one where he just kind of squeezes through the corner at great coverage. It's just a better throw and a better catch. The corner was surprised himself. And even you said Thielen just laid there for a while, just like a corpse. Like, I still got the ball. My legs are in.
Both my feet are in. I'm just going to lay here.
Yeah, so he's crafty around the end zone. And so, yeah, you think you're in control of the game there. It's this season, Chris. I struggle to say that we're in control of a game, and that's why I'm sort of hesitating. Because even when you're watching it, you're like, okay, that's good. That's a good sign. We got a touchdown. We're up a little bit here, but – and you never know what's going to come after. And, you know, sure enough, something did. So, yeah.
And it's crazy. Now. It's crazy how it works because five play, 22 yards. I think it was just one good play. Punt, no problem. Got the ball back, you know, eight plays, 63 yards, 437 on the clock to be exact. And then it was a whole lot of Cookie Monster. Cook just started grinding, catching the balls, running. I mean, that was actually that high point one-on-one on third down. It was almost like a high point back shoulder to Jefferson one-on-one. We were talking about off air how him and Cousins now have that. If he's one-on-one and he's just running down the field there, they're going to put it up to him, and why wouldn't you? And he almost made an amazing catch in the back of or right on the edge of the end zone. But either way, we had a drive. We wore down their defense, and it's 28-17. What could go wrong,
Aaron? Well, it's a myriad of things that could go wrong, but I think that what had happened was yeah, I think I was laughing at that point, just like, oh, okay, this is where it comes back. So the great punt, I got to say, great punt, great special teams play. Jacena kind of bobbled it and actually got it down at the 3 or 4 yard line. And you're thinking, okay, not very much time on the clock. Sure, they got some timeouts, but it's 94 yards. Our defense hasn't stunk up the joint, so, and we should be able to stop them. And sure enough, you know, we get them in 4th and 10. way down there, and you know, Kendricks gets beat in the seam for 40 or something like that, and then you're like, okay, so fine, line up again for another set of downs. We get to 4th and 6. You're going, okay, they're going to give this up, you know, because that's just what they've been doing all season. They've been giving up 4th downs. And so they, I don't remember who caught it or how they got the 4th and 6, but they converted that. And now you're thinking, okay, here we go. This is the beginning of a drive. And I'm thinking, if they go down and they score a touchdown and then get the 2-point conversion, all hell's going to break loose. And sure enough, that's what happened.
I mean, that is exactly what happened, dude. And 42 seconds left is like a quarter for the – only in the fourth quarter, though, for the Vikings offense. No problem at all. Cousins scrambled on a third down. Osborne, I think a 12 or 14-yard catch on a third down. We're moving it. Everything's great. We're lined up, man. We're lined up. We are just right there. It's time to win. He had missed one earlier, and that was another thing that we forgot to talk about. Vikings defense got another fumble, and then we missed it. And now we know it has to be 45 and back, but it has to be dead on. Because if it's dead on 40 and down, we saw what happened in Arizona. So it can't be to the right. It can't be to the left. Mm-mm. It's got to be dead center and long. That's all he's got. That's all he's got. Maybe 26 yarders, no problem. But you're lining up, and let just take us through what was going in your mind in the Vikings fan. Because, you know, some people are like, oh, dude, we're going to make this one. It's like, I even said someone at the bar, like, key word there, dude. You said make the field goal. And this was before we even took it.
Well, I've noticed all season that if it's less than 35, it's money. If it's more than 40, sometimes 48, something like that, it's a pretty good chance. But that 35 to 43 yard range is where
with the hash.
I start to get a little the with the hash, where it gets a little bit shaky for our boy Joseph. And it's like, I think one was from 37 that he shanked, and then the one was from like 38. And I'm just like, that's right in the zone where he never makes it. And it's hard to say never, because we've seen him kick maybe 15 kicks or something like that. And some of them he makes look so easy, just right down the pipe, man.
Plenty of distance.
Yeah, plenty of distance on this one, but right off his foot. This thing was
right.
Yeah,
he knew.
Just right off his foot. You just go, okay, this is not
it. It ain't going in. You know, he doesn't have
did anyone think that kick was going in? I mean, when they lined up for it, did anyone think, yeah, this is, we're going to win this game? Nobody. There's not a Viking fan in the, I sent you a YouTube clip of just kind of Vikings history.
Oh, and I now forgot to watch that. I got to check that out. That's
right. It's like now the country is kind of, the national media in the country is starting to kind of
they're catching up.
Hear about Vikingness and like all the shit, you know, that's gone on.
Where
and
you been?
All right. So now there's like YouTube video.
How many years? You know, we had a franchise for a long time. Where you guys been?
So I don't think anybody thought that kick was going in. So immediately you're thinking, well, at least, you know, we're tied and we'll go to overtime. And that's what happened. And, you know, now I'll open up overtime because we don't win that coin toss. It's a whole different thing, but we win the coin toss and we get the ball. And I really think that
that's what we
exactly.
Said
I was just going to say, Kirk was like something we don't ever see in him really, but
because
all that, the trajectory of that ball to Osborne was just fuck the kicker. And just beautiful landed to Osborne, and you can take it from there.
Dude. I mean, Jefferson made a nice catch, too, on that drive. Like, I think it was for a first down. And, yeah, that's what it felt like. You know what, dude? Fuck all this kicker stuff. We got plenty of time. If you score a touchdown in this weird NFL rules, we'll take it on this game, by the way. I'll complain about it until it's us. You score a touchdown, game's over. So, fuck it. Let's do it. And sure as shit, man. You know, we've been so used to two tight end sets here for the last chunk of. But these, the Osborne, and I'm not just saying that because he spent a year at Miami, okay? This guy, like the third wide receiver, and I got to admit, I actually downplayed the third. Dude, we got Irv Smith and Rudolph. What are you talking about? You know, we can run the ball. You know, I downplayed the third wide receiver. I'll admit I was wrong with that because this guy, and we're talking clutch parts of the games, too.
Yeah, making big plays.
Big plays. On third down, a couple of them, And not only does he make the catch, and Cousins now is just like, hey, I just threw it kind of left and a little high, and Osborne will come down with it. He's not 6'4", but he's coming down with it. And then to make the stretch too, and he said, I felt confident about it. That's why I threw my helmet off, because I saw that my, you know, my leg or knee hit the damn pylon. So it's a game, set, match, walk-off win, 34-28. I mean, this offense, when push comes to shove, it's now either six game tying drives potential, you know, as far as the offense doing its part, getting into place, whether it's a fumble or whether it's mostly missed kicks. You barely do that in a season, let alone through six games. And in that Cincinnati, to go back to it, it's just like this last one, except, you know, we had to get a field goal to go in, and then we were getting right there. Of course, there's no for sure thing with field goals, as we, you know, we know, but the offense did its job to get there. And then this week doubled up too. You know, we got down in range, missed it, and then got down in range and said, screw it. But that was a wonderful catch and throw. And like I said, just to reiterate, we're starting to put some stuff together here now out of four out of the six games. The Cleveland game, we were just mugged. You know what I mean? That's the best defense we faced. One of the best defenses in the league. Maybe we do better because of Darisaw, but still, they were just messing us up. But 48 times we put up the ball, and we've rushed the ball for 36 times, buck 98, 5.5. As you mentioned, it got better as time went on. And for Cook to come back, it's really too bad that we had to give him 29 carries, but it seemed like we needed every one of them. And, you know, Thielen didn't get targeted much last week. Well, he got 11 receptions this one. I mean, some of the stats as far as just all around, it's not one guy doing it. It's not just keep going back to the well. And, I mean, you do that when someone's hot. But overall, I mean, you know, it hasn't happened many times where you get a 100-yard receiver and a running back. And now against Carolina, Detroit, Seattle, our wins, Mattson Jefferson, Cook, Thielen, and – today, this is Dusty Baker again. I call him Dusty. I don't really know him like that. Dustin Baker. Today was the first Vikings game since 1988 where four different receivers posted 70-plus receiving apiece. And earlier this year, we had seven catches for four guys. So this offense, man, if this line, we said it before, if this line can be somewhere serviceable, right? That's the key word, serviceable, when it comes to slinging this thing around. We saw it the last 6 to 8 games last year. It's the real deal, man.
Well, you're going to need it. And, you know, you're right about, you know, the receivers stepping up. And it couldn't have come at a better time, too, because now you've got Jefferson seeing doubles and shading. And you've got Thielen, who's going to get single coverage a little bit more, but sometimes they'll shade him. So you have to have that third to balance it out. If you're going to do a three wide receiver set, you can't cover all three of them like that. So KJ is going to get a lot more opportunities in the way he makes plays. It's going to only help his numbers, and then free up Thielen, free up Jefferson. And then if you can start hitting this passing game, then all of a sudden Cook's going to have good days. Now, I don't think Cook is 100%. And it's sad that, like you said, he got 29 carries on probably being 80%. And, he just,
it's
didn't
like
have
an Alabama running back. What do we think this is? Nick Saban? I mean, geez.
He just didn't have the burst. Well, he had the burst, but he just didn't have – it just wasn't all
he
of what
Cook
can
give
you. Yeah, he would have definitely turned that corner. But, and I think he thought he did, but I think the defensive back just made a play, and Cook didn't feel him, and that's how that went. But, you know, you're right about the offense. Consistency is a thing. And penalties, man, these holding penalties are really a problem. But they're even getting spread around. They weren't last game. Udo collected most of them. But Bradbury's going to be an issue, you know, until he puts on 50 pounds, which I don't think that's going
to
happen.
They might have to go to Cole here soon.
Yeah, or something like that. But, you know, they have played better. And I think against a weaker defensive line, they're going to run all day on people. And you've got the weapons. Like you said, a serviceable league average offensive line will be the difference, especially with the games coming up. And This is the toughest stretch, quote unquote, of the season after the bye. And, you know, it sucks to not have Pat P, because now you have to depend on Breland. Breland has to play, and he has to play well. You can't sub him out with Cam. It doesn't sound good, you know. And so offensively, yeah, I mean, you're going to get tested here, and this line is going to have to get its shit together for this next stretch. I think you got the Rams coming up too with Aaron Donald. I mean, that's
Cowboys, a bad day.
Cowboys.
As far as just, I mean, you know, having to cover somebody.
Yeah, you got the Bears at the end of the schedule. You've got tough defensive lines coming up. So this offensive line is going to get tested. Therefore, this offense is going to get tested, and we're going to see what they're made of.
This is just another stat that, like you said, the media is nationally is just starting to catch up. They're having little segments on them. Like, how – I can't believe, because they were talking about that Cincinnati Green Bay game and all those missed field goals. They're like, now we know how it – I see what you're talking about. But here's from Eric Thompson on Twitter. The Vikings needed overtime to beat the Panthers despite outgaining them by 265 yards and a plus two in turnover. It's only the second time – let me read that again. It's only the second time since the merger – that a team outgained their opponent by 250 and had a positive turnover differential in an overtime game. The shit shouldn't have been in overtime. That is the moral of the story. Now, we've been talking about this. Oh, the defense has tightened up. After week two, completion percentage, ugly. 77.8, dead last. After week six, so that's in there still. It's not just these last 4 weeks. It's in the stats. We're fifth best now, 61.2. We are number one now in third down percentage. No secret there with Zimmer. Shit, we even finished last year 10th, if you're 11th with that defense. 29.1 on third down. Another one here, and this really stands out. We are tied for first in the league in sacks. We're up there in pressures as well. 21, first in the league. After six games, Aaron, we have 21 sacks. Last year, full year, 2020, 23 sacks. I mean, if that's not night and day, I don't know what is. But this defense has came around now for four straight weeks.
They have. And, you know, you lost Pierce in that span, too, and he'll be back after the bye, you think. But, you know, you have to be impressed with what they've done. Now, like I said, they've given up first down runs that I don't like that much. And secondary could be a little bit tighter. But I think Kendricks and the addition of Barr, you know, we kind of talked about that a little bit. It's like, well, maybe keep Vigil in. But I really think Barr has made a difference, and it's a little bit noticeable. Like, there's some plays that he's made that, you know, maybe Vigil couldn't make. Now, I don't think we're back at, you know, peak Barr, but I think that it's still a little bit better. It's a little bit different as far as coverage goes a little bit. You're not getting a lot of those crossing over the middle routes that you were seeing with Vigil, and nothing against Vigil. He did play well, and he's still playing well in his duty. But I think that Barr actually did make a difference in that. And Kendricks has always been Kendricks. And I just think really our problem right now is Pierce being out. Well, we have a new problem with Peterson. We'll get to that. But Pierce made a big difference as far as the run game was concerned. And I think we're kind of suffering from that a little bit. Tomlinson's pretty good, but he's not what Pierce and Tomlinson are as far as just the weight and being able to take the blocks up and be able to stop the run a little bit. I think our tackling's kind of been a little suspect, but that's kind of even got a little bit better. But I think you get your parts back, especially in the front seven, and you'll be a little bit more stout, which your numbers will go up against the run. That'll help your overall defense. And like I said, are they gelled yet? I'm not going to say they are, but are they, you know, improving? Yes, I think they're improving.
Yeah, they're knocking on the door. In the second half on third down defense, 2 of 32 they've held teams to, which is just ridiculous. Zimmer, by the way. Now everybody hates him, but Zimmer is 5-2-1 in OT games since coming here. Hey, that's pretty nice. And another one. Hate to bring it up, guys, but we've been talking about kickers. Since that damn Seahawks Bill Walsh gimme kick, right? The Vikings still haven't lost a game when we lead at the beginning of the fourth quarter. 45-0. Now, you could say the O has to go. That's fine, but we don't want it to go. No, but yeah, that defense, like you said, I'm not ready to, because they probably would have, you know, maybe got a safety and stuck them in the end zone. That fourth and 10 when the quarterback's in the freaking end zone is just so frustrating, dude. But nothing like last year, because that was what happened in like every other game last year. Remember that? Fourth and 13, no problem. You know, it's just like, what in the hell? But sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but our guy, Patrick Peterson, was put on the IR. He'll be out for a month. That means the minimum hamstring too, which we know with the skill players, wide receiver and cornerbacks especially. He's the earliest he can return is week 11 versus the Packers. So he's going to miss the Cowboys, Ravens, and Chargers. Oh my.
It's not good. And we alluded to it earlier, is kind of gets at your cornerback depth. Now, you know, Cam, you've been begging to play. Well, here's your chance. You're going to get plenty of playing time and a chance to prove yourself here in this stretch of those three games that you just mentioned. And you're going to have to play well, because if you're the weak link, you're going to get, you know, it's, they've already been going at Breland. If they think they got a better chance at you, they're going to go at both of them. And it could be a real serious problem. And let's hope it's not. Let's hope Cam can at least hold the water until Pat gets back. Pat's been playing pretty well. He gets beat from time to time. But, you know, overall, the veteran presence is something that's good, and it's been good for the secondary. So, you know, it's sad to see him out. I think they said it was a cramp right after the game, but then later, you know, found out he's on IR. So it's a definite hamstring pull, and that's not good. It all depends on Dantzler here. I mean, Breland's going to have to step up too, but it's not like I don't have faith in Cam. It's just, it's put up or shut up time. This is what you wanted. This is what you got. Tough opponents. Just go out and play.
Yeah, it's a lot too, especially, you know, it's nice to have a bye week going against the juggernaut on offense that Dallas is, but they have wide receivers galore and a guy that can sling it. And he's not, you know, we won a game 2 years ago, I think, you know, near the buzzer, and then lost the game kind of, you know, that those games have been crazy back and forth. And not to have Peterson, you're going to give up some yards, but it's been real quiet, and he's been playing against a lot of number ones. So, I mean, I'm just glad that I don't have to do a prediction this week. Let's put it that way. Like, it's like, man, that Dallas game, it kind of felt 50-50, but without your best corner, But, yeah, we'll see, man. We really got to, you know, to have that extra week and the scouting and all that, obviously we usually come out when it's planned plays, you know, the scripted plays, we're damn good at that. But, and I know Zimmer was talking about we're going to script some for the second half.
That was three and out, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Or four and out or whatever. And it was a couple of them in a row. So it's like, I mean, you only got a little time. You can't really dig too deep into it. So if Belichick always says, you know, if you got to wait till halftime, you're going to be in trouble to make adjustments. So all in all, though, 3-3. You know, we talked about this. 3-3, we're going to get Barr back. We're going to get Darisaw back. Both of us kind of doubted that. We didn't really know because of those setbacks. But now he's back. You know, we're going to get Pierce back. It sucks without Peterson, but, you know, the amount of pressure we can get, like you said, that front seven is so much more key because we got the safeties. So we're going to probably have to bracket some guys. I know we don't do that a lot, but that the one thing we got going is that pressure, though, and a bunch of smart players behind that defensive line. So if we can get Pierce back, maybe that'll limit, contain a little bit Ezekiel Elliott, and then let him try to air it out and see what happens. And then on the flip side, we're going to need that offensive line to do pretty close to what they just did, because that way we can keep up with that. And we'll get into the preview on that, obviously, next week. But, man, if there's ever a game to just keep opening it up and just chuck the ball, that's probably going to be the game. But any other items before we get to this here Golden Gopher victory, sir?
I was just going to mention that, you know, you did bring up the fact that if you can get more pressure on the quarterback, that's going to help out Dantzler in the secondary. And Dantzler showed last year that once he's in his element and he knows what he's doing, he's pretty good. He's tall, he's long, so he can help as far as big receivers. I think experience is probably an issue for him. And, you know, just confidence at this point. In the last year, he was sort of swagged out and had a lot of confidence. This year doesn't seem to be that way, but he's got to get back to that. He's going to give up some plays. That's a given. But if he can, you know, if he can play better for most and give up, you know, fewest amount of those plays, an obvious statement, I think we're going to be in good shape. And the thing defensively, I'd hate to see Zimmer have to go back and move the safeties to help the corners and all that stuff. I just like him to see him come in, play well enough to win football games. He's going to, like I said, he's going to give up plays, but if he can keep that to a minimum and really start to get his confidence back, I think he could probably end up being the other starter coming out of this injury. As long as he plays well, my hopes are with him. He's got to perform. It's a big deal right now. And, you know, I think that he can do it. Let's just see if he does. But let's talk about the Gophers. Didn't know what to think. Like I said, it was hard to predict last week, this Nebraska game, because Nebraska has improved. And, you know, they weren't great last year, and they were definitely not great the year before, but they played some tough games and were in them this year. You brought that up to me. So I watched a little bit of them before the game. And, you know, I thought it'd be a little bit more of a contest than it was. I mean, Minnesota sort of led throughout, but, you know, they did show a little improvement in Nebraska, but I think just the running game and the defense is the difference in this game.
Yeah. In the first half, the passing too, we said they need to at least pass 20 times in this game. And we thought we were going to have our full complementary of wide receivers, but the young Daniel did have to sit out. Hopefully he's back next week, or at least the week before, at least before Iowa, whatever. That's another thing. We'll talk about that. But 16 first downs in the first half, 21-9, 16. First of all, 21 points. It's like, whoa, for our offense lately. 15-16, 176, still at 71 yards rushing, 21-8. On the time of possession, that basically the game was pretty much won by that. Now, we did have issues offensively in the second half at times, but I think it was 16 straight. I think he set like a school record, Morgan. So, and it's not just Morgan. It's also the offensive line. We talked about the O-line, of course, with the Vikings. The O-line stood up in this one, too, and allowed him to have that time. And, I mean, what can you say about Autumn Bell? I mean, this guy was making catches left and right. He had 9 for 100 in a tutty in the first half. 36-yard was his long one, and that touchdown that he had, that catch. This guy plays like he's 6'3", 6'4". He is a stud. He may not go, you know, he's probably not going to go pro. I don't know his background, but I don't think he's going to go pro. But this guy is a great college athlete at that position. The guy makes so many great plays, and we need him, and it shows, you know. But if we can get, you know, Ford making a play here and there, Brown Stevens making another couple of plays, that great touchdown, great throw from Morgan there. But yeah, what you said, and also just, okay, let's be a little more aggressive. We know we can do it. Let's do it. So that was. That was a big thing. I mean, they got that late touchdown, you know, with like a minute something to make it somewhat of a game. But it was 30-16 after that last touchdown. And I was really happy because that's the third. It was a 4.5-point spread underdog at home. So that's damn near 7. That's a touchdown underdog almost, the Gophers. So that's 3. Now, Purdue was a 1.5 on the road, but we were underdogs to Colorado too. So 3 underdog wins this week, sets up really nice. So a very solid win. Now on to Maryland. And, you know, last year they came back. I think the Gophers were up like 20 points or 21 points, ended up coming back. There are a handful of things that we got to remember. First of all, COVID can't be a 100% excuse because everyone was dealing with it, right? But when you have your depth chart, you have 3 kickers, and 2 of them were out, and 1 of them was hurt. I mean, that was ugly too. We could barely kick off. We could, you know, it was ugly. So, but you know, it's our own fault. We let them back in the game, and we had a bunch of defensive issues in the first 4 to 6 games. It kind of felt like 2018, where we're like, where Duke got fired, where it's like, dude, what is going on defensively? Now, you know, and we even had a chance to win it in overtime, and we just screwed it up. So, you know, it's not so much Maryland that I'm worried about. It's about the helter-skelter, you know, Gophers. I mean, is it going to be third quarter Miami of Ohio and Bowling Green the freaking whole game? Or is it going to be Colorado 30-0 in the first half?
This is the test. I mean, this is going to be a test because Maryland's always been kind of this kind of, you know, jack-in-the-box sort of game on our schedule every year. I mean, there was, what, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, there was the everything was fine. We played well except for the 440 or 50-yard runs. And then there was the then last year, it was like we were, you know, I got a cousin down in Sartell who can kick the ball, so I don't know why Fleck won't put him on the team. So we didn't have any kickers. And then we, you know, and even before that, it's just kind of always been, even in the kill days, Maryland's just always kind of been tricky. And so I was telling you off air that I don't know what to think about this one. I like the Gophers in it because we're at home, but it's Maryland's weird. Like, our linebackers are a little slow, I thought. And, you know, you and I kind of went back and forth on that. And Maryland does run the ball well. They always have good athletes. Quarterback scares me a little bit. If he's having a great day, we're in trouble. If he's having a bad day, it's going to be fine. Or, you know, half, even a quarter. You can break it down with him. And so it's hard to tell what you're going to get out of Maryland, and therefore it's hard to tell what you're going to get out of this game. Now, you're right about the Gophers as well. It is hard to tell a little bit, but you can tell what the Gophers do if things aren't going great. They're going to run the football. And, you know, that's what I meant about last game. It's like we got the young backs and Bryce. And, you know, I thought, you know, Bucko played pretty well. Kai played pretty well. But the big run was by Bryce, who's an older back. So I think you still have enough backs to be effective. But I think the superstar, the shiny back, unless Bucko can step up a little bit, you don't have that anymore. You just got some good backs. You don't have any great backs. And that's kind of an issue for me, too, as well. But I like the Gophers in this. I think they win it at home. They're on a roll now. It'd be nice to keep it going because Iowa dropped a game.
Yeah, exactly. And Bucko, though, man, whew, he flashes, though, doesn't he? I mean, this guy's so quick, and yet, he can juke, but he can also, like, break a tackle. And, I mean, he's just so excited on the field. You know, he's a freshman, and man, I'm really excited about him in the future. But yeah, you're right. It's not, you know, Bryce Williams did break out on that long run, but it was a grind. It was definitely a grind. The over-under is 54.5, so, you know, there's going to be some points up. They do score more than us. I think they had a bye. They did have a bye, so they're going to have some shit scripted. They got beat up the last two games, too, so I'm wondering. They haven't put up a good performance since, like, Illinois, and that wasn't even a great performance because Illinois is not all that good. So they're kind of due for it. And then not just the helter-skelter, but the next week thing, you know, you just got off good two wins. All right, now are you going to, you know, be able to do it again? And it's interesting, man. This is going to be a tough one. I do like the Gophers. I'm with you. I think the saving grace here is, I mean, all you got to say is Bowling Green to them. You know, that's probably enough to motivate them. But also, let's look at the tape last year. What happened here? Oh, you know, and so they know, you know, this dude's not going to sneak up on him. He's going to make some plays, but he also makes some negative plays. So I do like him, and I think it'll be probably be like 30-24 or maybe even – both teams in the 30s, what'd I say, 54? So, yeah, I like it like 31-24 or something like that. But I'm with you. I think the Gophers will get the job done. And that will be, you know, if they can get it, then you're at Northwestern, which is down this year, and then another home game in Illinois. And then, like you mentioned, you know, they did lose, you know, Iowa did lose. And you look at that Purdue, You know, they've actually, dude, they threw the kitchen sink at them. They played three different quarterbacks in that game, and they had a bye week, by the way. And they also have, I think it was three out of the last four, Purdue's beaten Iowa just randomly. It's one of those style matchups that just for whatever reason, you know, goes in their favor. They just, kind of like Nebraska, we're 4-1 against them now. Whatever it is, it is a real deal. But here we are with Purdue, 2-1, because they got that big win. So 2-1, 2-1, and Iowa's 3-1. So, you know, of course, the whole control your own destiny thing. Iowa doesn't have too many, you know, tough games as far as, you know, ranked teams anymore, but we'd be a tough team. And obviously Purdue now is ranked off of that, even though, you know, so that helps us because now we beat a ranked team, you know, on the road. So, yeah, man, it is a must win if we want to get to that 9-10, you know, game wins this year, whether it's 9-3 and you get a bowl game 10 or you do just win out. But this team, I can't just be like, yeah, we're going to win out till we get to Iowa. It just the helter skelter, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. The whole Bowling Green thing just throws everything off, and we're kind of at that point in the season now where, you know, home games start to bring weather into it, and I talk about that a lot because I think if it gets really cold, and by really cold, I mean I don't know how cold Maryland gets, but I'm sure they get 30s sometimes and 40s sometimes, so I don't think that's going to be a big issue for them, but it still kind of can muddy up a game. It can change things. And, you know, that 54 to me seems high as far as points. And obviously Vegas does it for a reason, but I think it'll be under that. I like the Gophers probably maybe something like just the last game, like a 14-23, something like that. It's 26, 24, you know, something in the teens and the 20s. Sure. I don't see him scoring all those points, but, you know, I've been wrong. I mean, you'll have your three receivers probably back, and that's a good compliment. You know, Tanner's kind of coming into throwing the ball. So if you can move the football and throw the ball, I mean, it could go up and score like that. And you're going to give up some points to Maryland. You're right. So it could go up that high. But I just don't see it like that. I see it probably one team in the 20s, one team in the high teens. And I think that'll be the Gophers. And, you know, you go on through the rest of the season, like you said, and the next one after that, you know, Northwestern, you should win that one, but, you know, Bowling Green and Illinois, you should win that, but Bowling Green. So you're right. It's hard to judge, but you can't let that taint the whole season. And I think if you can get to Iowa and just play well, I think you got a chance to beat Iowa this season.
Yeah, their offense is not good. Their defense is crazy, but – yeah, you're right. If we can win these next three games, we'll be feeling a lot more, just a lot better, just in general. Like, okay, now we know what we got. We know what we can and can't do and all that. Any last words before we shut this puppy down, sir?
No. Let's hope that we get two wins next weekend, just like we got this weekend.
Well, we will, you know, come back talking Gophers probably early. And, of course, we're going to preview that big game at Dallas because we are on a bye week. We'll be back next week. Peace.